Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Horticulture Week podcast, celebrating Horticulture Week's 180th anniversary and today, Johnsons of Wixley's centenary. I'm Hort Week editor Matthew Appleby and today I'm with Graham Richardson, Group MD of North Yorkshire-based Johnsons of Wixley, one of the biggest growers in the UK and one of Hort Week's favourite businesses in the industry. Now, Graham, there's 11 members of the Richardson family in the business, and as a proud Yorkshire company, have you ever considered starting a cricket team?
I know cricket's a big favourite of the family as well, so it's that's rather ironic. I think the combination of 11 members of the Richardson family who are true Yorkshire people at heart, with a significant smattering of Scot, means we are suitably careful with our money up here in Yorkshire.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for that. So this year's your centenary, founded in 1921. So how were you set up? What's the background to you being founded in 1921?
Yeah, I mean, the company name is Johnsons of Wixley and the family name is Richardson. So there is obviously a little bit of a diversion there, and that started with Mr. Johnson returning from the Great War, having served in the trenches, a second lieutenant who was in charge of a mortar section, who joined the war in 1917, witnessed some really big battles at the end of the war. Saw the war out, remained in Western Europe to help with refugees and obviously the catastrophe that had befallen all the nations of Central Europe. Having done his time, he left the army and came back to his native Yorkshire. He was a native of Leeds, had married a Yorkshire girl whose family had a series of malt kilns throughout western North Yorkshire, one of them being located very close to where our headquarters is now, at a village called Cattle. Mrs. Johnson's family allowed them a small parcel of land, which Mr. Johnson, having taken botany at university, began to grow a basic selection of garden plants. That soon expanded, and Mr. Johnson, in not too much time, bought a 7-acre site in the village of Wixley, which is some mile and a quarter away from his original site. Bought a house and a small holding there, and began growing on a bigger scale. At that time, he was servicing a local landowners, estates, some direct retailing, and a fairly significant market economy which was prevailing at the time. He developed a reputation for quality and consistency, and grew the business up until the point where, because of having no immediate family of his own, had his eyes on retirement, but no immediate obvious choice of what to do with the business. At that time, my father's uncle owned the garage in Wixley Village. He ran the local garage, ran a taxi service, had one of the only telephones in the area, had been an ARP in the Second World War, etc. And he was aware of Mr. Johnson and passed on to my father, who had already trained in horticulture and worked within horticulture. His family were vegetable growers in West Yorkshire near Wakefield, in the rhubarb triangle, growing lots of rhubarb themselves as well. So he had a history of as a grower, and so this opportunity for this already established business came up. To look, cut a long story short, my father mortgaged his soul to buy the business with the help of his family and the banks, etc., and purchased this business, which consisted of 11 acres with 11 staff and a sales turnover of about £36,000, and purchased the business in 1963-64, and from that point on began to very gradually develop the business.
So he mortgaged his soul, crikey. So back in those days, I imagine councils were quite a large part of the market amongst the amenity sector. But things have moved on in more recent years towards the landscaper and designer side, and obviously the retail side too. So how have things changed in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, very significantly. The change for us within our business began to happen relatively quickly as my father rapidly dropped any form of retailing, recognising that it was a lot easier to go up the nursery with a tractor and trailer and fill it than it was to go up with a wheelbarrow for Mrs. Smith down the road who wanted one standard rose and a chrysanthemum. So we dropped the retailing. My father also got into the production using containers at a very early stage. What containerisation hadn't really begun at that stage. It was first established in the USA. They were using old fruit cans before plastics came in. But with the advent of plastic, containerisation began to take off. We were one of the first doing it alongside using newfangled winter protection methods in the form of polythene tunnels. And I distinctly remember my father building our own. He was sourcing galvanised steel rods of a certain length. He built a jig which we fed these steel rods through and created a hoop, and then bought large sheets of polythene to create a sort of the beginnings and first of polytunnels. So, you know, a sort of fairly significant history of innovation. Through the 1970s, supply was significant through into the councils and local authorities. But once the 80s came round and a big shift in government emphasis, that market dropped significantly. And we moved over to major on the supply of hardy trees and shrubs into what we now term the commercial amenity sector.
Wow. And you're set up now with five production centres, is that right?
Yeah, with five different production centres that feed our head office site, which is a production centre in its own right, but also houses distribution, warehousing, head office, engineering, all the usual things that any reasonable size business, land-based business needs.
Got 120 20 full-time staff. So do you have any labour sourcing issues? How do you get hold of your labour?
Yeah, I mean, the 120 staff has dropped, actually, over the last 10 years or so. I think we were up as far as 150 permanent staff. But, of course, seasonality and climate plays a never-ending role in our business and exposes us. So the ability to turn off the staff at periods when we're not as busy has been fundamental to the profitable success of the business. So we supplement those 120 staff. We've up to 70 agency staff who we secure probably from a 30-mile radius coming from York, Harrogate, and then the West Yorkshire conurbations. The availability of them has been pretty good. In general, we're always told that we are a preferred employer by the agencies. We offer a secure place of employment. We look after our staff, be they agency or permanent. And I think in the main, people get a degree of fulfilment working in an outdoor environment. So whilst there has been periods where it has been difficult to source staff and the quality of them can be extremely variable, some of them only spending only lasting a couple of hours, in the main, we can just about manage.
Brilliant. Now, just looking at your latest turnover the other day, and so you rode the storm of 2020. You're down about 7% to the year ending September 2020. But how have things picked up since then?
Yeah, I mean, that was an uncharted territory in March of 2020, at the point when Boris Johnson enforced the first lockdown. We were going extremely well in March of 2020. And March is typically our biggest month of the year, as the amenity season typically begins to wind down and conclude, but is just finishing off a large-scale supply. And as the supply into the retail sector comes on strong, so we have a sort of a double peak, if you like, in that month. But that month deaccelerated rapidly, three quarters of the way through the month, and the following April saw a very significant downturn, but following extensive lobbying by ourselves through our MPs and utilising marketing and PR channels, but just as importantly through the HTA, and with the help of Hawke Week, which was all extremely significant, we obviously all managed to overturn that decision, and the garden centres were reopened, which threw us a lifeline. And from that point, really, things took off again. Not sufficient enough to undo the loss of sales turnover that we experienced over a period of approximately 6 to 8 weeks, but certainly enough to resurrect the year. And had we at the point when Boris Johnson announced the lockdown, had we known that we would only end up 7% down, we would have taken that on any day of the week.
And how has your focus changed since then? Have you changed your split between amenity and retail and supplying online people, or has anything changed at all there?
No, but the split very much remains and is a conscious policy decision to maintain that split. Approximately 66% of what we do is sales into the amenity sector, another 20% being sales to garden centre, independent garden centres nationally, and the balance being our own trade counter operation, which is a microcosm of what we do. And having those three channels to market tends to mean that when we're suffering the effects of climate, seasonality, or even the economy, at least one of the channels is doing rather better than the other. So we have, and this is tried and tested on many occasions, we've actually found that this gives us a buffer and reduces the natural exposure that we face. In terms of this year, our season, which begins for us, or our financial year, which begins for us on the 1st of October, so we're in the midst of a financial year. This year is exceeding all expectations. Our March and April combined were the two busiest months that this business has ever experienced. And we are reasonably confident, barring lockdowns or pandemic or other blight, that we will comfortably exceed £15 million this year, which is which we will be absolutely delighted with. And what's more, we are managing to maintain profitability despite the significant extra cost, which is now inherent as part of the Brexit proposition.
That's good news. And I know marketing is a big focus for you as well, which must really help your turnover. What do you do in marketing? Because I'm not sure all growers are as good as you at it.
Do you know, marketing is a sort of a lesson to us here at Johnson's. We always had a degree of a marketing presence, but it was always a secondary afterthought. And we always swore blind that we would never invest in a full-time marketer for this business. We just couldn't see how it could be justified. But my own daughter, who has worked for our business since leaving school and has undertaken a range of different roles from the bottom up, was very keen and motivated by certainly the social media channels, etc. And as an expansion of that, took on our website and any more sort of hard marketing and PR. And the results of that has been nothing short of astounding. Whilst it's almost impossible to prove, we are fairly confident that our success over the last two or three years has been significantly underpinned by our approach to marketing, and my daughter has taken great pleasure in proving her father wrong.
So the future of the business is in good hands with Ellie and the other family members, the other younger ones. Now, this year there's been a lot of supply problems in the industry. There's not been enough plants, basically, Europe-wide. Are they easing now?
Fractionally, as new crops come on stream, but that in itself has been frustrated a little bit by the climate through this spring, which has not been particularly kind to growers. We've had more consecutive nights of frost than we can ever remember. The daytime temperatures have subsequently struggled to get up to anything reasonable, so growth on new crops has been suppressed. Our own crops are coming on strong. We maintained our extent and scale of production, and indeed during the lockdown invested in more growing space where many people were just not prepared to invest in extra production, not knowing what the future held. We were confident that there would be an opportunity out the other side, so we put down extra beds, have grown more plants, and the first of those plants grown in the summer and autumn of last year are now becoming available and will help to alleviate that supply. We make no apology, though, that whilst growing and growing a significant proportion of what we sell will be at the heart of what we always do, we always supplement with traded material. In doing that, that de-exposes us to our own production, which we're having to lay down way in advance of actually knowing what we would sell. So, in other words, it's a risky forecast that we're attempting to make. And so being able to fall back on traded plants de-exposes us and gives us a significant buffer. And our long-term cultivated relationships with suppliers in mainland Europe are maintained. We are a preferred supplier of theirs. We are a regular customer who pays good money for the stock that we require, and have agreements where we pay our suppliers early as part of a bargain. That means that we are, again, as I say, observed as a preferred supplier. We get lots of kudos with those suppliers for doing that. We actually find that it helps us manage our cash flow because we can accurately assess what we'll need to be paying and when.
So that leads me to asking, looking to the future, how much can you increase your own production to sort of beat to import substitution? There's obviously risks there, but opportunities.
I think there are some opportunities, and I think our production and levels of production will increase organically, although probably not exponentially, because, again, we do feel that we are rather exposed to climate. Climate is clearly changing. The extremities of climate are getting more severe, and our ability to control that isn't getting any better. So our strategy will remain a gradual and an organic expansion of the items that we know that we can grow well and sell, but also a cultivation of those all important relationships with suppliers so that we can react to our customers at relatively short notice and meet demand. What we find is that most of our most successful relationships are with our key account customers, and those are based on a simple premise that we attempt to make those customers' life that bit easier by providing a one-stop shop solution and taking the impossible away from perhaps a landscape contractor who has been dumped on at last minute from a main contractor demanding the finish of the completion of a job within a few days and finding it almost difficult to bring it all together. That is what we do. We provide that service. We bring together that stock. We can do it in record time as we've got our own trucks on the continent every day of the year. We like to think that we are a successful solutions provider.
Brilliant. That's a great way of summing it all up, a one-stop shop that takes away those problems for the landscapers and is organically increasing production in the coming years. So thank you very much to Graham Richardson from Johnson's Wixley, and congratulations on 100 years. And this has been the Horticulture Week podcast. Make sure you never miss one. Subscribe to or follow Horticulture Week podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And once again, thank you and goodbye until next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.